Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018.
University, Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. Guys, it's good to be back in here, ready to rock and roll and get another show going, as there's a big football game coming up today, later on today, well, depending on when you're listening to this show. But the Eagles are playing the Cowboys, we should say, this week, today. They're playing the Eagles-Cowboys week, and it is a first-place showdown for the NFC East. They got the toughest schedule in the NFL the next four games. So if you get past the Cowboys, then it's the Rams. And
yeah.
Then you got the Texans.
And the Texans.
Texans are hot.
They're going to have to earn this,
yeah,
guys. They're going to have to earn this. How you think it's going to play out? Quick prediction.
I think the offense starts to roll a little bit. I think a good record would be 3-1 in the last four games.
Yeah, I agree, Kyle. I think you take Dallas. I think you take Washington. And then you got to steal one of those tough three games.
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
I think getting Houston coming in here on late December, maybe they'll have their spot solidified in the AFC. Could they be locked into a four? Could they be locked into a three? They're going to have to win. Bottom line is, you got to win. You got to play. You got to win. They control their own destiny. They got to win. A lot of stuff happening in the NFL, and... It's going to be fun to see how it plays out over the next month as we head into the playoffs.
There's a lot of movement this year in the NFL at the end of this. Yeah, and one of the things we talk a lot of, people complain a lot about the NFL, and the main office. But one, I'm going to give them credit for something. Them backloading division games to the end of the season has brought so much more drama into the end of the season. Because everything matters now.
Yeah, no doubt. I like that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I really like that.
I mean, I remember when they first did it, I was like, it's a little weird not playing any of the NFC East games until so far into the schedule.
Right.
But the end result, like every game is going to matter now, at least for the NFC East. And a couple of the races, the NFC South, every game is going to matter.
They'll be decided. And the cool thing is that you don't have to scoreboard watch when you're playing a team. Okay, you got to beat that team. Eagles don't have to look around and see what are the Cowboys doing today. No, go out there and beat them.
Absolutely.
Go out there and you win that game, and that can set you up. Guys, we have a special guest today, and it's going to be our first in the world of auto racing. He's a 15-year-old motorsports driver, Sam Mayer. We'll hear from Sam a bit later. And in studio with us for our Faith in the Field segment will be Namara McCall. She's a singer-songwriter and a worship leader at End Time Harvest Church in Philly. And she'll join us later in the show. And she's got a special treat for us. She's going to also sing a song to take us out, to close us out. So we'll hear from her at the end of the show. We're going to talk about strength this week, guys. And when we think of becoming bigger, stronger, faster, all that stuff, right? We work out, we hit the gym. I haven't hit the gym in about a week and a half now. We hit the gym, we put in the work, and you always hear the term beast mode, right? You always hear the term beast mode, and we see the hashtag beast mode selfie. My wife's really good at that. But hey, she's getting in the gym. She's making it happen. And hashtag.
If you actually get to the gym, you could hashtag beast mode anytime you want.
Hashtag whatever you want.
Much respect.
I always think of Marshawn Lynch. Beast mode is Marshawn.
Absolutely.
That's his nickname.
It always wants me to eat Skittles. I want to eat some Skittles, bro. Then I have to go to the gym.
Then you definitely have to go to the gym. So let's do this today. Let's go all out beast mode. And let's talk about where we find real strength, however. And I'm not talking about the kind of strength where you're able to bench press 400 pounds or the kind of strength where you're able to curl 105. Or what did I do last year that tore my elbow thing up?
I think you had to go down to 35. I think that was the issue.
It was at 60 or something. I haven't done it since. I listened to the doctor. I listened to you. No, not that kind of strength. I don't want to talk about that kind of strength. I want to talk about inner strength. I want to talk about mental strength. I want to talk about moral strength. I want to talk about physical strength. So let's do that. Let's talk about that, guys. Isaiah 40:29 says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And we're going to hear from Sam Mayer about this verse because it's his favorite. And we're going to break it down too as well, because even though the strongest people mentally, physically, emotionally, morally, even the strong of us, like the strongest among us, all of us, who, no matter who you are, you're going to get weak at times. And the burdens that we carry in our lives, they become too much. And the demands of life sometimes become too heavy to lift. So whatever we're carrying that's overwhelming us and we feel weaker and we need that source of strength, we can always turn to different things. There's so many different stuff that advertises, supplements to make you stronger, supplements to make you bigger, stronger, faster, caffeine to make you feel better or give you that edge.
You're messing now.
All that. And I am doing a show today, and I haven't had my coffee yet. Ooh. I haven't had my iced latte. I haven't had it yet. Somehow I'm managing and pushing through. But you know, when you think about all of these external sources that can give you that strength, we often overlook the one who is always in beast mode. Mm. The one whose strength will never diminish. And that's our God. He's never too tired, he's never too weak. He's never too busy. He's always there to listen and to help us. And all we got to do is call on him. Like, go to him. Yeah. Rather than go to that other source, go to him. And we turn to many various people, and we turn to many various areas and different things to strengthen us physically. But I feel that sometimes we need a reminder. I need a reminder. Yeah. I needed a reminder today to go to the one who created me. We need a reminder to go to the one who created us to renew our strength when we feel weak or when we feel powerless in any aspect of our lives. Pastor Kyle, go beast mode.
Yeah, bro, what you just said is fantastic. I mean, the truth is, I think one of the things that we end up trying to do all the time is get a supplement, is try to get the shortcut to add to our own strength. And that's the issue, I think. The struggle and tension for humanity is that even when we look to God, we're looking for God to add to our strength instead of recognizing, as God tells Paul kind of in 2 Corinthians, he said, look, in your weakness, I'm made perfect. It's not God adding to our strength. It's actually recognizing that we have no strength and that we need to connect to who he is, because that's true power, authority, and strength. And, you know, we have to, I think one of the things that we can encourage each other with is that, you know, when a lamp, a light, it's not looking for electricity to add to the electricity that's already in it. It recognizes it has nothing. It has no power in and of itself to make the light shine. It only when it turns on the switch that the external energy, the external power comes in and it allows it to be what it was created to be. And Rob, that's what we are. You know, there's God created us to be this light. God created us to be who we have been designed to be. But we don't contain anything in and of ourselves to actually make that happen. We actually need to allow God. It's opening up our lives for the external power of God to come into our lives so that we can be who God created us to be.
So good.
You know what I love about the light analogy, Kyle? And you talked great about that with the energy, but where does light shine brightest?
In the midst of darkness.
Right? Yeah. And so when we're stripped away of everything, that's when our light can shine the brightest. And, you know, you don't see a little bit of a light when there's so much distraction around, there's other spotlights, there's other things to take away. But when you eliminate all those other distractions, that's when the light shines the most. And, Rob, I love how you kind of intro'd the show with, it's not a matter of being our best and taking over and putting down other people. It's a matter of, hey, let's humble ourselves. Let's put all of our energy into Christ and go beast mode in giving our energy to Christ to allow him to carry us through.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, guys, we take God for granted, right? We try and go to all these external sources.
Yeah.
We say, okay, I need help in this area. Let me go and try and figure, okay, let me try and do this. I need help in that area, and this is the structure that's set up to help me here. I need help in whatever it is that we need help in. We try and look for other sources. So I'm not saying if you're sick, don't go to the doctor.
Correct.
And don't, like God didn't want us to be stupid.
Yes, correct.
You know, we're not designed to be idiots, right? I'm not saying if you have an injury, you don't take care of that. I'm talking about whatever we're going through emotionally, mentally, whatever we're going through internally, things that of crisis, Like we try and deal with it oftentimes on our own. And we try and be like, I want to go beast mode on my problems. I want to go. But you know what? Sometimes you're not going to figure that out on your own.
Yeah.
You're going to continue to search and search and search and look for answers, and they're not going to be there. Or you may get temporary solutions.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to get that fulfillment, and you're not going to get that answer, and you're not going to get that comfort, that peace that you get through God, that you get through the Lord. And that's what I want to try and tell people today. I want to try and encourage them. And I do this oftentimes because a lot of times I structure a show around what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I structure it around like, hey.
It's like my Sunday sermons. What's going on in my life?
What's going on in my life? I'm feeling a little down in this area, and I need a pick-me-up here. And, you know, I'm running all around. I'm going through this. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I even stop and pray?
Yeah. Yes.
Did I turn on the light switch? Did I plug it in?
What you're saying, Rob, is so essential for us to understand, because I love the verse that you pulled out, but we have to continue to read it in context.
Yeah.
He actually says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. That strength actually is a result of a relationship, of actually coming into agreement with Jesus, putting ourselves under Jesus, surrendering ourselves to who he is.
Wait, you mean it doesn't happen like
Lord.
That?
Exactly.
It's
interesting. You know, you talked about power here. It says, you know, he will actually give power to those who are weak. But that word actually means he'll increase capacity. The image there is of when you blow into a balloon. A balloon is one size until an external wind, an external breath, right? The rock of God, the breath of God, an external breath enters into that vessel and it expands it. That's a lot of times God expands us through putting us in situations we can't handle ourselves, because he's looking to increase our capacity. He's looking to increase our patience, increase our wisdom, increase our faith. So that requires that external capacity, that external breath to be blown into us and us stretched. So a lot of times we want the situation to change rather than actually ourselves to be changed in the midst of the situation. God is much more interested in changing us in the midst of our situation than actually changing our situation for us.
Isn't it awesome when you are going beast mode for God? I mean, when you're on the mission field and you have those little glimpses and you feel God completely at work in everything that you're doing,
yeah.
And you're completely, I guess it's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's filled with the Holy Spirit beast mode time, right?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, when we try to do it ourselves, Rob, you're right. It is empty. It's fleeting. And, you know, you put all the pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
And it goes really quick. But when you're doing it for God and you can give all the credit to him, it's energizing. It really is. It's that breath of fresh air. It's that extra energy that you're going to get to take you to the next level. Nothing better than beast mode for God, right?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How do I know he's my shepherd? Because I will lay down in the green pasture that he led me to. I will actually lay down. I will be willing to surrender my normal instinct. A natural instinct of a lamb is to continue, a sheep is to continue to seek out greener grass, to wander. So how do we know that we are actually surrendering? When we're willing to lay down where the shepherd leads us, regardless of the natural instinct that we are facing.
Rob, you're completely redefining beast mode, because when you come into it, it's a matter of I'm running over everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm leaving nothing in my path, right? I'm going to demolish everything.
I'm going to knock over two tacklers. I'm going to rumble 50 yards for a touchdown.
Well, that's what Marshawn Lynch did, right?
He's just beast mode,
you know, running through everybody. But now you're talking about laying down in green pastures, humbling yourself, giving the credit to somebody else, not being the man.
Can you imagine that, though? Laying down is that ultimate sign of complete surrender.
Correct. Exactly, complete surrender. Needing and requiring the shepherd to bring us food rather than us being led simply to the food. You know, Doug, you just mentioned missionary, and I was reminded, you talk about beast mode. For me, I was inspired over the last few weeks by the story of John Chow, the 26-year-old missionary who was martyred, taking the gospel to a small island group off of India. And he had been passionate about one thing. These people have never heard the name of Jesus. I'm going to learn their culture. I'm going to learn their language. And he was sent in by a fisherman. A fisherman took him in. The government said he wasn't allowed to go. A fisherman took him in, dropped him off. The entire way in, he's saying, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. He made it one day on the beach before they killed him. And yet, in the midst of that, Rob, for me, that's beast mode. For me, it's the ability to say, you know what? I know the danger that lies in front of me, but no matter what, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. No matter what. I'm gonna do what I'm going to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone, picking up my cross, laying down my life. For me, that's a great example of what true beast mode looks like.
It goes back to what we always talk about is the world tells us one thing. The world sells us one thing. It sells us this idea of beast mode. And it's all about strength physically. It's all about accomplishment individually.
Yeah.
It's all about that stuff. Yet what we're trying to say and what the message we're trying to convey is real true beast mode, like real life beast mode, has nothing to do with what you're doing physically on a field or what you're accomplishing. It has to do with being one with the Lord, being in tune with the Lord, following his path, surrendering to him.
Yeah.
to him. And we think of the ultimate surrender, like you're laying down or you're taking a knee for the Lord, right? You're surrendering. You're not knocking anybody over. You're doing all that. It's an incredible thing. And as we continue to strive, because it's not like something you can accomplish overnight.
Correct.
It's something you can continue to strive for. It doesn't mean I'm not going to go into the gym next opportunity I get and try and lift whatever I can. I'm going to work on the physical. I'm going to work on all that stuff. But I know that for me, the ultimate beast mode is going to come through my Lord and Savior. When we come back, we're going to hear from motorsports driver Sam Mayer. This is Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University. Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. If you missed any of our episodes, Doug, let them know how they can catch up.
Go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can listen 24/7 at your convenience. Our podcasts are on there. You can stream it straight from the website. Something new that we're doing, Rob, too, is that you can go on and enter your email, subscribe to our weekly email list, and we'll actually email it out to you. So if you're not a big, social media follower, you're not on there a whole lot, and you forget to check out the website, enter your email, and we'll send you that on a weekly basis.
I see a contest coming up, Doug.
I think so. We have one contest that's going for some merchandise now, but email contest is coming real soon. And, the best thing that you can do from our website is get Birds of Prey, your book, about the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And, when you buy that book, you can get a signed copy. So just let us know great Christmas presents.
Christmas season!
That's right.
Can it fit in a stocking, depending on the size of the stocking, right? I guess
if you have a big stocking, you can fit in there.
I got a big stocking, bro.
I'm sure you got a few, right?
I wear 13. Bro, my stock is big. You know what I'm saying?
We got stockings in every
room. That's what I'm saying.
We can fit that in a stocking. So.
We have some awesome events that are coming up, so stay tuned on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And, Rob, your big debut's coming up on Saturday. You're going to be at Karen University graduation speaker, which is the high honor that's been bestowed upon you.
That's the first commencement I've done. So by the time I got about 7 more before that, and I can't keep track of where I am, Doug. So keep just reminding me in the morning.
Check it out on social media.
Somebody got to let me know where I'm going to be. I'm always afraid, was I supposed to be here today? Am I supposed to go there today? And I had a phone call yesterday, and I'm like, whoa, who's this phone call coming from? No, I didn't have no meeting. Decline.
You got to go beast mode. Let's go
beast
mode.
I'm not ready right now, man.
Turn it over.
We'll get it done. Our guest, guys, is Sam Mayer. He is a young kid who is a race car driver, and it's such a cool thing. Sam developed a love for speed. I love that. He developed a love for speed. A love for speed at a young age because his dad, former IndyCar and Grand Am driver, Scott Mayer, so he got it from him. It's in the genes, you could say. He raced the track. So Sam quickly proved a natural on the track, officially starting his rookie racing career at the early age of 4 when he began racing the kid karts at Badger Raceway. Now he's 15 years old, and Sam's quickly making a name for himself. In 2018, Sam joined Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s JR Motorsports championship-winning late model program for the season. He started strong with consistent top 5 finishes and a second-place finish in the World Series of Asphalt Racing Super Late Model Championship with Fury Motorsports. He also won the 2018 Bojangles Shootout title at Charlotte, at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And now I'm gonna stop at Bojangles.
Come on, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Ride to Florida. He competed in both the NASCAR K&N Pro Series and the ARCA Racing Series, including 2 top 5 and 5 top 10 finishes in his first run at Wake County Speedway. He was aiming to place in the top 10, but he ended up taking home his first Cars Tour victory. He ended the 2018 season as the highest finishing rookie in the 2018 Cars Response Energy Tour Late Model Championship standings. Sam was also voted, this will tell you a little bit about the kid, he was voted the series' most popular driver following a poll conducted by Race22.com for 2019. Sam will be racing in the ARCA Racing Series and K&N Pro Series East Racing Circuits. Start following his fast-tracked career right now at www.sammayerracing.com. Here is the interview with Sam Mayer. Sam, Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." This is a Bible verse I know that's important to you. Can you explain to us why it is significant in your life?
So, I feel like God is all-powerful, of course, and we wouldn't be here without him. So, if we were here, we would have no direction or anything. So, we are weak. Way weaker compared to him than anything else. So when God gives us the strength we need to survive and continue our lives in a very good manner, I feel like it's really important for him to give us strength and give power to us because we are weak without him.
How much does it help you, Sam, in your profession as a young guy, a young teenager, racing against older veterans who've been out there? How much do you rely on your faith to give you confidence, to help you through maybe moments of doubt and times where you think that, hey, this is bigger than me?
I pray before every single race that I'm in, and whether I feel really confident about it, if I'm on the pole, or if I had a bad qualifying run and I'm starting closer to the back, I always pray just to give me strength and give me power because I am weak compared to him, and he will give me anything he wants to give me and that I need to be successful. So I feel like being up against these older people that have more experience and have probably been racing as long as I've been alive really gives me the confidence I need to succeed.
Now, your dad, Scott Mayer, was a former IndyCar racer and an IMSA racer. How much did you learn from him? How much does it help you having him around? And how do you guys stay connected and grounded in your faith when you're on the road so much?
He was raised a very strong Catholic, and they went to church every single Sunday. And anytime they had to go to church, they went to church. And he brought that into our family this generation now. And I really rely on my faith. Like I said before, just before every single race, I have to pray, and it gives me that confidence. And I think he's really helped me out with my faith and give me the strength I need to understand what God gives me. And it also helps a lot just because he helps out with what I need to do on the track. If I forget something here and there, like warming up my tires, cleaning out the motor, he'll put a little bit of tidbit in just to help me out.
Is it cool, too, to have your dad? You could be around so many people who it might be hard to trust them, but you know that your dad's got your best interest at heart, and he's always got your back. And just to have that feeling, that familiarity with someone who raised you, who loves you, what's that like to have him around there?
Some of the races he cannot go to because he needs to put the bread on the table, so it's definitely different when he's not around, but I can manage without him. But having him there and knowing that there's family around, being there to support me and understand me, because the team understands me very well and they know what I need and they understand what I need to do either to the car or anything else. But having someone that is in my family and understands just that little bit more, it means a lot.
At what point, Sam, growing up, did you – you're very young, and you've been doing this for a little bit of time here. At what point did you say, hey, this is what I want to do? I want to race cars. I want to be on the circuit. When did you realize that?
Well, I mean, at first I really wanted to go into IndyCar. When I was 4 years old racing at Badger Car Club up in Dustman, Wisconsin – we went every Sunday, and I loved the crap out of it. It was so fun and exhilarating, and everything about it was so just awesome to me. And like, I was like, wow, I really want to take this somewhere. And my dad, of course, he was an IndyCar driver, so I was like, my immediate response was, I want to be an IndyCar driver. So I set out to do that for the first 6 months of my life as a race car driver, and I was starting to watch races and seeing everything. I was like, those cars look really weird. They're different. I don't know what really went through my mind, but I was like, what's NASCAR? Like, I really want to do that too. Like, that looks just as fun. So, I mean, I continued my go-kart career, and I continue to watch the NASCAR races and see what goes on there compared to what IndyCar does. And NASCAR just had that little bit of an edge over IndyCar, I guess. And I guess the biggest thing, too, is my dad really wouldn't let me do IndyCar because of the safety factor. He's really big on safety, so I understand that. But, I mean, he pushed me a little bit towards the NASCAR side, but he said, you can do whatever you want, and I ended up choosing NASCAR.
And you were just recently voted the 2018 Cars Tour Most Popular Driver. What is it like to win that honor, to win that award, to see people vote you in as the most popular driver?
The Cars Tour is probably the most prestigious late model stock racing series in the Southeast, and maybe even the whole country for sure. And being the most popular driver in the population's opinion, it feels great. Like, having all those fans that watch every single race and go to all the races they can, having them vote for me and having all my family vote for me and everyone around me vote for me, it means a lot, and it gives me that extra confidence to do just a little bit better when I go to these races.
And now that you win an award like that, and I'm sure you have your mind and your heart set on winning many more and winning some races, how does your faith allow you to stay humble, to make sure that, hey, I got to stay within who I am, be true to who I am, not get a big head, let my ego take over, and just stay humble?
The biggest thing is my dad doesn't let me. if I ever do feel like I deserve something like that, and it does get to me, which, I mean, it never has, thank God. But my dad, he really wouldn't let me. He would let me know immediately if he sees something wrong with that. But really, he's raised me in such a way that I really don't feel like I need to brag or anything about it, because, I mean, he's given me this opportunity, and God's given me this opportunity to do this. And, I mean, taking advantage of like that, it's not how I've been raised, and it's not how I feel.
Now, obviously, what you're doing and going out there and racing is going to take a toll on your schedule. It's changed your life. What is your schooling situation? Homeschooling? Are you in classes? Like, what is that like for you?
So this last year, I started homeschool because we did 37 races last year, and leaving pretty much every weekend takes a toll on school for sure. So, I mean, I'd leave Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and I'd miss 2 days of school every single week, and I would get caught up, and then I'd go right back to being behind again. So, I mean, it was kind of a back-and-forth thing, and especially like this coming year up next is a pretty thick schedule during the summer, but there's a lot of races like early in the year. Like, we're going to be missing a week because we're going to run the Speed Week series in the Super Late Model this year, and missing that much school is kind of tough. So we ended up doing homeschool, and it's made my life a lot easier for sure, because I'm able to either get ahead if I want to, or I can take it on the plane and go to the hotel and do it at the hotel over the weekend. So, I mean, I do homeschool just because it makes my life a lot easier.
If you had to pick one thing about racing that's just the coolest thing, like for those of us who have never experienced that thrill, what it's like, we can't even imagine being in that car, being surrounded by all these other vehicles and all these other drivers and the crowd and everything. Like, what is the coolest thing for you, Sam, about it?
Really, it's just about everything, honestly. Everything about racing in a car, in a stock car, it's awesome. It's really unexplainable, in my opinion, because, like, there's so much to it that you have to know or that I'm still learning. And it's exhilarating going that fast, I guess, and going through every single corner and just getting that checkered flag and that win is a big thing, too.
What is your immediate goals? Do you look at 2019 and say, hey, do you have a list? Do you put anything together I want to cross off? Or how do you go about trying to accomplish different things?
Well, in 2019, it's going to be a pretty full schedule, like I said before, with Canon, ARCA, and some trucks, hopefully, if we can, after I'm 16 in June. Getting a lot of wins would be the biggest thing, and hopefully we can do that. I want to go for at least 4 or 5 wins next year. That is the media goal, so we can try to do that. But just enjoy myself and keep learning. Like, I'm at that age where I have so much time on my hands before I try to get to the Cup Series. And I have age, so I can just learn and take my time learning and understand the cars and go through all the things that they need to learn, whether it's the easy way or sometimes it's going to be the hard way, because you're always going to have those days. But just trying to understand the cars and try to win races while doing that.
Well, if you ever get to the point where you are weary or you are tired and the schedule's getting too much for you, as you said in the beginning, you can point to Isaiah 40:29, and God gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Sam, we really appreciate your time. It is so impressive what you've been doing, what you've done, and we look forward to following the rest of your career, and we wish you a ton of blessings.
And that was Sam Mayer. And you know what's so cool is that you got a young kid. He's 15 years old. He's in this profession. He's racing against all these older guys. And he's not afraid to, for one, put Isaiah 40:29 on his bio on social media. And to be bold and speak about his faith. And I think it's a lesson for, like, all of us out there. Hey, no matter how young or how old you are,
put it out there.
Put it out there. Use. Go back to it.
Use your platform.
Use your platform,
bro. I love it. But come on, man. He's driving race cars before most people are driving on the streets.
Man.
This kid is incredible. You know, I love that he's living out exactly what Paul tells Timothy. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:12, where he says, "Look, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set the example in faith and love and life and speech and purity." And that's actually what Sam is doing. I love that in this show we're actually getting to see a lot of young generation leaders rising up. You know, we got Namara coming up in just a moment. You know, we got Sam living it out there. And I'm believing, and I think our audiences as well, our listeners will as well, to start believing for this younger generation to rise up and be what they've been created to be, these amazing examples of God's love to the world.
Yeah, we hear too many people bad-mouthing millennials and all that. We don't need to be bashing generations and as they're growing and as they're getting – instead of doing – uplift them, lift them up,
correct,
encourage them. And there are examples. And when I see people like Sam and I see Namara coming in here and all that stuff, I just smile internally and I'm like, man, this is awesome. This is so cool to see people, for all the negativity we have going on in the world, for all the people who want to say that next generation is going to, you guys are, it's going to be awful. No, I think we'll be in good hands if we take the lead.
Well, but
and show them.
Rob, we got to notice that both of these young people talk about their parents.
Yes.
You know, helping to raise them up. You know, the Bible says if you raise up a child, train up a child in the way that they should go, when they get older, they won't depart from it. And, man, that's why church is so important. Living it out at home is so important. We talk about that a lot. One of the greatest parts of being a disciple isn't just what we do outside our home. It's actually what we bring inside our home.
When we come back on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University, singer-songwriter Namara McCall joins us. And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and joining us for our Faith in the Field segment is Namara McCall. She is a worship leader at End Time Harvest Church, also a singer-songwriter. And your new video, I Don't Care, just released. It is great to have you here with us. And you guys apparently have history. You know each other.
Yeah.
And we set this up without even knowing that.
Right. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, my
I love
son
that.
Jake went to school with Namara at Cherry Hill East. And just, she has been a rock star her entire life.
Oh, my God.
No, it's true. It's true. She's epic. She's the legend.
Oh, my God.
At Cherry Hill East, and just actually an amazing woman of God.
Well, we're going to have to make sure everybody follows you and downloads your new song and everything else. But I want to start with this, Namara, because your website calls you a change maker.
Yeah.
Tell us how you aspire to create change and what kind of change do you want to see?
Well, I'm going to quote Barack Obama. Life is as it should be. There are so many things that are happening in our communities, both on a micro scale and a macro scale. And one thing that is always the connecting thread is music.
Yeah.
We listen to music when we work out, when we start the day, when we need to focus, when we need to center ourselves for prayer or just get through what it is that we're going through. And it's so important that I create something that God has breathed into, that God has shared his insight and how we can carry on our everyday lives and our everyday interactions. And one thing that is so important to me is that music is a thought changer and it is a thought provoker. And so you cannot make change until you have new ideas. And music is a space for inspiration. So when you listen to my music, I hope that I can spark new inspiration and new ideas that therefore creates new spaces for change, new dialogue, and things like that. So that is that's the purpose of my music.
Well, tell me about then I Don't Care. What do you try to, the message you're trying to convey in that song?
And, right.
You know, it's very catchy. It's a great video. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it, where can people go see it?
You can go to YouTube and you can also go to my website, namara.com. That's namarah.com. And you can get connected that way. But the song I Don't Care is really it's an anthem for women first.
Love that.
I don't know if you noticed, but there were only women in the music video.
Not the type of put a ring on it anthem, though.
Oh, absolutely not. So the thing is,
sure
so
was.
The thing is, for women, we are always faced with so many different identities of how we should be, and of course, there is a picture of what God has predestined for the woman, but that is so much more complex than what our society has tried to kind of like parade for us as women. You know, women were. They were queens, they were prophets, they were judges, they were pastors. They had so many different roles that were outside of, hey, I'm going to clean this kitchen or I'm going to be your assistant or whatever. And so I Don't Care is saying, hey, we are women who are complex. We are three-dimensional, and we can be strong. We can be soft. We can be silent. We can be loud. And I'm not going to subscribe to this idea that I'm supposed to be one specific thing. So that whole concept is I'm breaking out of these boundaries, and I'm no longer going to think about their opinions because, frankly, I don't care. I already know what God has already placed on the inside of me, and I'm just going to fall in love with that and embrace that wholeheartedly.
Namara, you grew up in the church.
I did.
And that's—it's such a blessing, actually, isn't it, to grow up inside the house of God?
Yeah.
So tell me, how's that really kind of influenced your worldview and shaped the way that you see life itself?
Yeah. You know, I think I lucked out because my parents are so—they're so out of the box. Like my mom, she listened to so many different things from like Fred Hammond, Kirk Franklin to like NXS and like Echo and the Bunnymen and Prince. So we listened to so many different things and understood that you can see God in every single aspect because
Absolutely.
God is a creator.
Yes.
And creators, you know, create. We are made in the image of likeness of God. And sometimes, even though it might not necessarily be all pure, we are still in some way echoing what God has already breathed into us, right? So being that and like seeing that through my parents, my dad used to rap when he was growing up. And so like they were always really creative. So as we were growing up in the church, we had them as pastors and speakers. But then I also got to see like the creative quirky sides of my parents as humans and got to see like, oh, okay, I can be both things. Like I can do like, and it's not even I can be both things, I can just be, you know. There's a whole different like idea of that, and a lot of folks that I would come in contact with, like they would be really confused being like, oh wait, you're saved, like you're a Christian, but like you're doing theater and you're friends with all these different people and you're wearing crop tops and you were like, you know, like what is it,
we're supposed to be put in a box,
right? And,
look a certain way, act a certain way,
right,
do certain things,
right? And so like all of those things, like I realize is that we as church folk growing up can seem, and I feel like so many people, it's not just church people, but we come up with these false identities of how one should portray themselves versus how we already know we are supposed to be, because it's the natural inclinations that come to us. And when we start to over police ourselves, that's when rebellion starts to happen.
Correct.
That's when perversity starts to happen. All of those things is when we start to deny what is already on the inside. And so the acting out is when people are just trying to harness that creativity on the inside instead of just already nurturing that from the beginning.
Yeah, it's the law. The law brings rebellion.
Yeah.
So anytime that we're trying to restrict ourselves based off an outside concept rather than allowing what you said is so powerful about being. How do I create? How do I engage with the being that He created me to be with the being who created me? And when those two things come into collision together,
right,
that's actually where life happens. In real life, what does Jesus say? Life abundantly happens.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to get your take on this, and this wasn't even part of the script or anything, but as I hear you talk, and I hear you talk about music, I want to get into a little bit. I'm really interested to hear your take on this, because we saw what happened in the sports world with Kareem Hunt and the violence, the assault on women, the reaction to that.
Yeah.
And I do a sports show on 97.5, The Fanatic, and I had very strong opinions, not just about the action, but about what we as a society allow to happen that we don't overlook. And part of that is music with explicit lyrics, music that's demeaning, derogatory, and disrespectful towards women, entertainment. And then people were coming at me like, oh, you want to censor this and you want to censor that. No, I'm saying if we don't have a problem with music or what is classified as entertainment, whether it's comedy, whether it's a movie, whether it's a TV show that is demeaning and derogatory and disrespectful towards women,
right,
then when something like that happens and we want to stand up and be outraged by it, why aren't we outraged by the stuff that we classify as entertainment? So as a musician, as someone whose dad was a rapper, and in no way am I trying to condemn one specific genre of music.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, how do you think that type of music or that type of entertainment can lend people in society or those who are growing up around that or hear that to have no respect for women?
Right. So you have to understand that genre has nothing to do, and musical style has nothing to do with culture shaping and mindset shaping. It is a byproduct of that. So like the whole hip hop culture is really a byproduct of the frustrations of that community.
Yeah, that's correct.
So when you, as creators, we can only create what is inside of us, right? So if someone is creating something that is that is traumatic, that is sounds like it's violence against women, that's using, you know, their substance abuse and, you know, a love for money and all of this gang culture, that's because that is the that they are a byproduct of the culture inside of them and what they've been, you know, involved in. So at the heart of it, you can't fault an artist for creating what's already on the inside of them. But you can always have the choice to listen and to and police what the family culture is actually allowing inside the household. So this is not anything to do with, because I'm not here to like admonish an artist or whatever, because at the end of the day, I can't change how they're going to, and they're making money off of it and they're profiting off of it. But I know it's my job as a parent, as a peer, or as a community member to say, hey, we can listen to other styles of music, or we can listen to other genres or other artists that are saying things that you know match up with the style that you're listening to, but they are more uplifting, they are more empowering, and will feed things that will not encourage that behavior. So you get where I'm coming from? There's always going to be someone that's saying something that's negative, but that's not the reason why negative things are happening.
Of course not.
Negative things, you know, like trauma and all of these issues of pain and like violence against women, these things happen because of the sin nature that's already on the inside of us, and so we're already acting it out. So I can't say like, okay, like we can't play this song, like no matter what, it's going to show up anyway, but it's our decisions on how we engage with it and how we actually like continue the allowance of it. Is we just say, all right, that's just a song. It's like, no. This is a song that's coming from this place. Understand that it's coming from this place. And that's how you kind of
you have to agree that it's hard or difficult for kids to understand how you just explained.
Oh,
this is
coming
from. To navigate it.
It's very difficult to try and explain to an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, or whoever, young person, that no, this is where this person is coming from in their life, and this should not be the norm. This should not be the lifestyle that you aspire to, and this should not be acceptable. You talked about uplifting and encouraging and music like that. How about you give us a little demonstration of that? Let's hear a little bit from Namara. So,
okay.
Let's switch over everything here. You go. You got your...
I got my
You got
crew.
Your guy here. You got Malik is here.
Malik's in the house.
Yo, what's up, Malik?
Malik's in the house, so let's get him ready. Let's get Namara ready. And what are you going to play? What song is it going to be?
I'm going to sing a love song.
A love song. All right. She's going to sing a love song.
Yeah, because apparently Christian folk don't do love songs.
Is that right?
Inappropriate.
Is that what they tell you?
That's what some folks like to say, but this is...
Isn't it a one big love affair with
exactly.
Christ and his church?
Exactly.
All right, let's go. Let's hear it. Let's do this. Here is Namara McCall, and the song, this is a Christian love song?
It's a love song.
Just a love song. Period.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself in a box.
Yeah.
Go for it.
This song is called "Just Like That," and it's streaming on all platforms. You can find me on Instagram, Amazon Music, Apple Music, Spotify, the like. So, make sure that you check that out.
Just like a storm, blows through and then nothing's the same like never before. Was the moment that I heard your name. It's just like the moon, the light can shine right through the dark, like when you move straight through me and into my heart. Your love is just like that. 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 Together helps things come alive, like pleasure and pain. Brings new life by divine design. It's like a song, I heard it before, but it's new. Finally I found it's just like that. Your love, it's just like that. Your love, it's just like that. Oh, yeah, it's just like that. Yeah, it's just like that. Oh, it's just like that. It's giving me chills. It's never, no, never too much. You're giving me chills. Yeah, yeah, it's never too, never too much. Your love, it's just like that. Your love is just like that. Your love, is just like that. Oh, it's just like that.
Wow. Woo. Phenomenal. We ought to give her a standing ovation in here, right? That's fantastic. That is Namara McCall. Namara, how can everybody follow you, find you, listen to your music? Let them know one more time.
Well, you can find me at I Am Namara on Instagram. That's N-A-M-A-R-A-H. And I am a singer, songwriter, and worshiper. So, yeah, follow me. My name's Namara.
And she is phenomenal. She's outstanding. Thank you to everyone watching and listening. Big thanks to all of our guests today, Sam Mayer and Namara McCall. Thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for his outstanding work on our website and our podcast. Thanks to our wives for giving us the time to be here. Ryan Lennox,
yay,
tremendous
wives.
Job producing over there. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field show. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors, including Karen University. For Doug and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.